Tom Karkle in the WRJN News Center. Forecast for today, calling for sunshine, warmer conditions. We'll have a high near 90 degrees for today. Right now it is 68 in Kenosha, 74 in Burlington, 74 in Milwaukee, and 70 at this hour in Racine. Racine firefighters dispatched just before 6:30 this morning to the 1600 block of Yount Street on the report of a building on fire. A police officer arrived first, told dispatch it was the old Teamsters Local 43 building at 1624 Yount and that it was burning. Once fire crews got there, though, it took just a few minutes to knock down the flames. The circumstances of how the fire began now involving both a fire investigator and a police investigator. There's also no word yet on the amount of damage. It's about $4,000 worth of damage from an unattended candle in a fire to an apartment building at 2218 Lonnie Lane yesterday morning. We've seen firefighters gaining access to the apartment found that the sprinkler system had confined the flames to just a bedroom. Nobody home at the time the alarm was called in. The resident later admitting he'd forgotten about the lit candle. The Red Cross brought in to offer assistance to the three residents with immediate housing needs. The Burlington flooding and other parts of western Racine County that got hit back in July, that was a pretty intense response to a significant local disaster for Emergency Management Coordinator David Mack. Lately, he's been keeping tabs on the hurricanes and the earthquake scenarios elsewhere. On WRJN's Community Conversations, Mack says his attention kind of more focused on what happens after the response phase to places like Houston, similar to what Burlington faced with rising water, only in Burlington it was on a much, much smaller scale.
Put it in a densely populated area like Houston and a much larger footprint, and it's very overwhelming. Where do you even start? And so it'll be interesting to look at their after action and how they handled it, what they did right, and then also where are those areas for improvement, because we can all learn from that.
An important lesson, he says, to be learned from disasters also, being ready for those that you love likely being somewhere else when it's time to take action. The Racine Public Library's Board of Trustees spending very little time really on the recent bedbug problem at their meeting yesterday. The problem shut down the lakefront building for a day and took the new bookmobile out of service for that same time. The problem showing up on separate dates and in different parts of the building. Librarian Jessica McPhail admitted that they were all kind of freaked out by the situation, but they did feel better after the specialty dogs that were brought in each found the same thing just in separate searches. McPhail noting that they continue a due diligence policy of checking for bed bugs, which has been around now for almost 7 years.
We'll continue doing our routine, which was that our maintenance guy looks in the seams of every chair. He looks where he's been told and learned where bed bugs hide out. And we have a pest control service that routinely screens for bed bugs. And we're ready to call the dogs back anytime.
The Racine Public Library began the monthly screening for bed bugs back in 2011, not based on something that was found, but rather an industry publication about the potential damage to materials, not to mention public imagery. A hearing, to determine if a 15-year-old Kenosha boy ought to be tried as a juvenile or an adult, allegedly causing the death of a classmate at Bradford High School, well, that has been postponed for now. Timothy Carson accused of second-degree intentional homicide as an adult. 15-year-old DeJean Taylor, stabbed in the heart during a confrontation in study hall last April, died a few days later. Carson charged as an adult under state law. His attorney, though, has requested it was what is known as a reverse waiver to have the case handled in juvenile court. The hearing postponed until October 30th. Bond set at $50,000 for 39-year-old Pauline Sanders, the mother of the 15-year-old boy found dead in a pond near his town of Dover home. She made a first court appearance on unrelated charges of abusing a hazardous substance and bail jumping. Sanders, according to the criminal complaint, arrested while sheriff's deputies were on scene of the incident with her son, had been reported huffing or inhaling vapors from aerosol cans to get high, violating bond from a previous child abuse case. Her preliminary hearing is set for next week. And Racine police are searching for the person who stabbed a dog to death. The boxer mix attacked yesterday outside of a home on Riverside Drive after escaping from the chain that had kept him in the yard of the home there. It was taken to a veterinary facility but euthanized at the request of the owner due to the severity of the injuries. The Technology Center in Sturtevant, owned and operated by Gateway Technical College, expected to become a hub for Foxconn training. It's in line for a multi-million dollar expansion and renovation. The S.C. Johnson iMet Technology Center, right near where Foxconn is expected to build that huge manufacturing complex and employ up to 13,000 people. Many of them are expected to be trained by Gateway, so says Deb Davidson, the school's Vice President of Workforce and Economic Development.
We would be training in robotics and mechanical, electrical, data communication, so a lot of the things that we offer right now. We would also be training in pneumatics, hydraulics, programmable logic controls, which is what makes all of the equipment kind of talk to each other, and then data communication.
Says the training would be specific to Foxconn and how it would be conducted and how many students would be involved. That is still under discussion. Meanwhile, several dozen Foxconn employees are temporarily working from the iMet Center. Davidson indicating that over the past couple of weeks, about 40 of those employees moved into available space. She says that it's still kind of in progress.
They quite happy to be where they are. They're integrating well with everybody at the iMet Center. Doors are open. It isn't a matter of we have a closed locked door operation going on there. So it's really been nice to have them in the building.
Most of the employees, she said, project managers and their support staff. The Association of Zoos and Aquariums announcing that the Racine Zoo has been granted accreditation by the association's Independent Accreditation Commission. The Racine Zoo has been an accredited member of AZA since back in 1986. The inspection team noted the job the staff has done at the zoo in keeping both the front of the house and off-exhibit areas in top shape, singling out the zoo's facilities manager, Dave Williams, for his efforts. They also took note of the renewed energy and forward direction the zoo has taken since the addition of Executive Director Beth Heidorn, and the new state-of-the-art skylights in the Vanishing Kingdom, the energy-efficient outdoor lights, and the covered picnic pavilion, along with the wayfinding signage, all cited in the inspection report. A number of Caledonia residents who live near the former Western Publishing Company building on Erie Street complained recently to the village board that something has got to be done about the trespassing and vandalism there, and a general feeling of just not being safe walking near it. Village Administrator Tom Christensen telling the trustees at this week's meeting that there has been discussion with the owner and that progress is being made. A tour of that site reportedly conducted yesterday.
We'll have a better idea of the status of the building and what direction, if any, the village can move forward to address the problem.
Securing the building to stop the trespassing was a priority based on the citizens' complaints. Neighbors had also been complaining about the number of calls for police service there. Kenosha's curbside yard waste collection program set to begin Monday, October 2nd, and it will continue through Saturday, November the 25th. Residents of Kenosha are required to place their yard waste in city-approved biodegradable bags for curbside collection. They have to be in the bags or the material will not be picked up, and they have to be at the curb line on the normally scheduled solid waste collection day, but separate from other materials. More information for Kenosha residents on the city's website, www.kenosha.org. And a bartender license application recommended for denial to a Burlington man based on statute and three misdemeanor convictions for cocaine possession, obstructing, and violating probation. John Roosh, though, essentially threw himself on the mercy of the Common Council this week, and with backing by a couple of administrators, he got that approval for the license. Police Chief Mark Anderson indicating that per state statute, Roosh is technically an habitual offender. But the chief noted it's kind of a gray area for just how long you consider that.
While there is verbiage in the state statute book in many areas regarding habitual criminality, regarding increased penalties, etc., there is limited verbiage about the timeline of habitual offender in this case. So Mr. Ruiz is 35 years of age. When he was 20 and when he was 23, he had a lot of encounter with law enforcement.
Burlington's city attorney, John Belogicveld, who is really more of a policy matter than something legal, Roosh explained he straightened out his life since back in 2005 after having made what he admitted were silly mistakes. Now he's coaching youth sports and volunteering with United Way. WRJN.com is our webpage. We keep our newscast in the local news section. And throughout the day, at WRJN News, we'll get you our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.